The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and may not necessarily be the views or opinions of this station, its management, sponsors, or staff. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Mitch Hank Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on The Mitch Hank Show.
All right, we are back with, of course we're back. It's a bad thing to say. Of course we're back. Mike Michelson joins me. You know, Chris was on the last half hour going, lies, 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 lies about the Act 10 protests being so peaceful. Somebody who was inside the Capitol during those days and weeks and months, well, not months, but I guess, well, almost, joins me now, Mike Michelson, who was a staffer at the time, I guess, for assembly member, Stephen Noss. That was before he got elected to the Senate, right, Mike?
That's correct, yes.
So in terms of the peaceful, you know, Shangri-La, you know, Kumbaya image that Chris was trying to project, you would say what?
Well, certainly in the first 2 weeks, it's very well documented that it was not strictly peaceful, Mitch. As people look back at that period of time in 2011, we had a much different clientele that the protest community brought in. In fact, there were union representatives from Illinois that came up that first week. They were very physical in the way in which they approached the building. We had staff who were grabbed. We had I personally had my tie grabbed several times and choked one time by someone who would not let go multiple times. We had a female staffer who was bumped and knocked into a wall. We had people who, trying to get at legislators, were bumping up and pushing against police officers, trying to keep a path for legislators to be able to walk through the building. We had physical and all sorts of things thrown at different points when people were moving through the building, you know, in that first 2 weeks. So it's clearly in the first 2 weeks there was a much different group of protesters who were here. They were your old classic union, we're going to bust you in the nose sort of mentality. Now, it changed after that. There's no question that that first 2 weeks turned off a lot of people in the protest community, the more regular Wisconsin protesters, and so, you know, it changed to more of an occupation. But the first 2 weeks, there was violence, and people can say there wasn't. I know they want to run from that, but there was violence. And again, even the process of trying to clutter up the building, Mitch, think about this. It is the closest thing we've come to a coup in terms of trying to keep state government from meeting. They occupied the building. They tried to block entryways. They tried to prevent state government from operating. That in and of itself is a form of violence.
Well, and we saw Glenn Grothman, who was blocked from going in the door.
Oh, they surrounded him, and Representative Brett Halsey had to go in there and try to intercede because tensions were growing and people were screaming at him, and a few items were thrown. And this is what we saw. And again, Mitch, people have a right to gather and protest. People do not have a right to block others from conducting their legal business. They certainly don't have the right to storm a government meeting room and block a government entity, elected officials, from meeting. Again, that is what they do in other countries. It's called a coup, and it's not what we do here. And so we saw that, and it failed. And you know, I think the history will show that it was a terrible disaster, a terrible failure for the groups that supported that protest.
So when somebody says lies, 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 you say, well, I had somebody grab me by the tie and wouldn't let go. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, I was pushed a couple times as I was trying to get through the building. There were other, I mean, Mitch, even people who came in the building those first couple weeks who had suits on, people who were here on lobby days where we still tried to run the building, they were accosted. They were yelled at. There was pushing, and you know, because people were mistaking them for lobbyists, Republican lobbyists. So, you know, the first 2 weeks, there was a much different vibe, a much different feel to the protest. After the first 2 weeks, approximately, it turned into an occupation. They literally tried
down,
to occupy the building.
Well, then you had the, I remember the news conferences with the Sheriff Mahoney saying, we're not going to be palace guards. Remember, you know, there was some kind of a conflict over the Capitol Police and whether local police agencies would be called in And there was the, we're not going to be palace guards right. comment.
And as my boss, Senator Noss, criticized the sheriff decided at that moment, and it was a clear, again, another sign that constitutional government in this state had broken down. The elected constitutional sheriff at that point in time, Dave Mahoney, decided to, again, act like a union president. What he used to be was a union president when he was just a sheriff's deputy. And when he was acting and issuing that statement as a sheriff, what you saw were you had members of, frankly, law enforcement that, again, not all, but there, Mitch, there was a difference. The law enforcement that was brought from out of state, I talked to many of them. They couldn't believe what was being allowed to occur here. It would not have occurred at a courthouse or another governmental building anywhere else in the state, and doesn't to this day. So what you have is a situation where you had people like Sheriff Mahoney, the police chief at the time, the mayor of Madison, again, who were participating in an attempt to coup state government, in a sense, because they were trying to prevent the legislature, the duly elected legislature from meeting. Don't forget that the Democrats in the state Senate took off and hid in Illinois.
I understand all that.
State history.
Now, we understand what was at stake. Now, Chris is on chat calling you names because there were no prosecutions filed in those first 2 weeks. I don't know what your response on that is.
Well, the problem, Mitch, was, as people recall, even at that time, we did not have enough law enforcement. For about the first 7 to 10 days, it did catch Capitol Police Chief Tubbs shorthanded. And so they had to go out and contract and bring in and bring in more officers. So the problem was, in many cases, when these issues were occurring in the first 2 weeks, they just didn't have enough manpower in the city of Madison, and the sheriff's department, frankly, was not cooperating. And so there was not any way to control the situation with the number of officers they had. Remember, then you saw a rapid increase in officers from all over the state being brought in, and control was brought back to the building. In fact, at one point they cleared the building out, and people, you know, had to be let in through an appropriate manner. And, you know, we saw a different, again, the protesters changed, and then because of the fact that more law enforcement, particularly from outstate, was brought in, there was a message sent that, you know, certain things weren't going to be tolerated.
All right, well, your good friend is on the phone, Jeff Simpson. Are we recycled with Mike? We're good. Hello, Jeff.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hey, I just want to agree. There was definitely violence down there. Scott Fitzgerald intimidated one of Mark Miller's staffers so bad she needed police escort. Justice Prosser choked a coworker. Dave Zeem knocked somebody's tooth out. There was definite violence down there. Scott Walker wanted to introduce violence to help prove his point.
So there was no violence then on your side at all. Your side was totally peaceful, and it was only Dave Zeem and Scott Fitzgerald were violent.
I mean, for the most part, I took my children down there almost every day. They were 4 and 7 at the time. I was down there every single day. I saw none of that.
Okay, so when Mike says he was grabbed by the tie and they wouldn't let go, you're just saying that's a lie then, Jeff? Or?
Pretty much. Yeah.
So it didn't happen. Go ahead, Mike.
Right.
Well, I'm not even going to bother to waste my time with, you know, Mr. Simpson, who frankly is, even amongst Democrats, consider him extreme, frankly a little goofy. You know, Jeff was not here. There were a lot of people who were here. I mean, I can tell you there were union leaders
here.
Who were upset.
I was every day.
In the first two weeks,
there were union leaders who were upset with the conduct. In fact, again, the Illinois labor folks who came up were encouraged not to come back. You know, so there was a change after the first 2 weeks
so
in the manner of the protest.
You were in on the labor meetings where they told you.
Let's get back to the bottom here. Here's the bottom line.
You're basically calling Mike a liar when somebody says somebody grabbed him with a tie and wouldn't let go. You're basically saying he's lying about that, Jeff.
Yeah,
which I don't, you are. Okay,
I mean,
well.
Did he get bumped? The Capitol was packed. I got bumped too. It wasn't a violent bump.
Well, you said that somebody got knocked into a wall,
here's
right?
Here's my question. I know Mike well enough to know that if somebody grabbed him by the tie and wouldn't let go, he would have called the police. So I'd love to see the police report.
Well, no, in fact, Jeff, because you don't know what you're talking about, which is usual, there was no ability. We were on the far end of the building. There were certain points in that first 2 weeks, Jeff, where even if we had called the police from our office, they did not have enough officers to move the crowd to be able to get down there and deal with problems. And that was one of the issues, and that was resolved
so
after the first 2 weeks.
So then the labor leaders took care of the phone?
Well, here's the problem.
You're cracking me up.
We ended up bringing in the Milwaukee police and some others who knew how to deal with crowds, and we're not going to put up with it. So after the first 2 weeks, with a different police presence, things did change. It turned into an occupation, which the court's member at the time approved of, although it never got to the state Supreme Court. But let's put the bottom line on this. The voters of Wisconsin decided what was the truth. And, you know, the bottom line is those here in Madison continue to can live in that dream world. But what went on here failed. It failed.
Well, it certainly failed in the ability to stop Governor Walker because of the petition signed. So, Jeff, isn't that true? You couldn't stop Governor Walker from being reelected in 12 or 14 as a result of the...
Yeah, that had nothing to do with the protest. The protests happened. It strictly happened because Mr. Democratic...
No, but the protests led to the petitions gatherings. And
right.
There was
the protests happened, Mitch, because the Republicans wanted to shove Act 10 through and cut off debate, despite the fact that there was people lined out the door trying to still testify against it. That's how the protest happened. That's what started the protest.
Well, Mike, on the debate point, I hate to keep doing everything again.
Simply false. The governor announced on a Friday, announced that
Friday
Act 10 was coming.
Hold on.
And by the weekend, there were protests and people who tried to get into the building. By that following Monday, the protests grew, and it became very problematic. So, again, he can revise history, but he cannot control the truth.
The governor announced on Friday. On Tuesday, on the following Tuesday, they were going to cut off debate, and there were still hundreds of people wanting to testify against it. But they didn't want to hear it. They wanted to pass the
Well, I mean, there's no limit to how many people wanted to testify. I mean, there was no limit to that amount of people that wanted to testify against it. I mean, you can hold up. I mean, you're not going to be able to accommodate every single person who wants to testify against a bill that affects them negatively. I mean, there's no way you could ever accommodate that many people. You'd have hearings for months. Months.
Well,
what's protocol, Mike? What's the protocol on time spent in hearings on any bill?
That is left to the discretion of the committee chairman. Normally, we have a hearing and we go for as long as we can on that day. We don't extend it because that's exactly what it was. It was a delaying. It was a dilatory tactic. And, you know, Mitch, here's the bottom line. We're talking about history. We can look at history. The voters of Wisconsin made it very clear that they supported Act 10, the provisions of Act 10, and you know. And since then, let's be clear: the Democrats were destroyed by their conduct with regards to Act 10. The protesters have damaged them severely. Frankly, I would even argue that this is Trump winning in outstate Wisconsin is a follow through of what started with the protests in Act 10.
Okay, Jeff, what are the victories that you would point to then as a result of the forces gathering to protest, as you describe, and being in line to testify? How did that benefit your side politically?
I don't know what my side is. My side is the state of Wisconsin. But the only thing that protests really did was they allowed us to look at Act 10 a little bit better. And when Mike says that Act 10 won by the voters, that's just completely false. No one has ever, ever, ever on either side campaign on Act 10.
Well, Kathleen Falk did, and she ran against Kathleen Falk did in the primary against Barrett, Tom Barrett.
Yes,
and she lost the primary.
Right,
Jeff.
Unfortunately, yes.
I mean, so
okay, I'll give you that. Kathleen Falk did.
I mean, come on.
Never has. Tom Barrett never did. Mary Burke never did. No one has ever campaigned against
Act
10.
Well, I understand, but the one person who did
so
lost.
Act 10 that people...
Well, then why didn't Kathleen Falk beat Tom Barrett?
She should have.
Well, see, there you have it.
Well, here's the point.
I mean, that's a whole other story.
Jeff can say,
well, all right, go ahead.
Democrats. First of all, I don't buy into it. Democrats used Act 10. They were fundraising. They did a recall petition, which was frankly a disaster because, you know, all the people who signed the recall petition, now in every community, people know who those folks are. And that kind of awakened the battle. The battle is joined. We're not going to be bullied. We're not going to be pushed around. The voters said enough. And they don't fall for the screaming and yelling. It doesn't scare people anymore.
Well, my point is, unless you're on the payroll, you just didn't care that much, Jeff, sad as that is to say, because most people who are watching on the news were not on the payroll and didn't have the benefits or the jobs. that the protesters had.
150,000 people come to Madison to protest, right?
And we had 5.5 million people live in the state. And right, so when it came to the vote, it's like with Trump, Jeff. You know, we might as well take the scab off. We talk about 38 million women voted for Hillary. 29 million women voted for Trump. I saw them in Iowa. I said, who are you going to vote for? Trump, Trump. You know, they had their working jacket on, and, you know, they may or may not.
It was an anti-establishment election, for sure.
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, so this idea that you speak for the entire state or country from the isthmus is, you know, is proven false. You know, it doesn't exist. So yeah, if you're going to win, my suggestion is you get rural voters back on board. I've written columns about it. But
yeah, I have too. We've got to get them back on board, but you haven't given them a reason to vote for us, right?
Well, apparently not.
Well, on the policy, here's the key thing. On the policy, the public does support Act 10. It does support the property tax savings, $5 billion in savings. Some of that has gone back to other government services. Some has gone into saving property taxpayers' money. So the fact of the matter is the voters, again, ratified the policy. The policy's been in place. And nobody on the Democratic side wants to change it except those here in Madison.
Well, Jeff, isn't your point that the money goes to Wiedick and all the money goes to Scott Walker's friends?
Yeah, there hasn't been any property tax savings. It might have went up every single year. What it did is it took $5 billion out of our economy, which is why if you looked in the paper the other day, there's a story about we're losing way more businesses than we're getting. Our economy
we have one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country. And again, we have one of the higher labor force participation rates in the country. We have tremendous numbers in business startups. So again, the problem here is the policies have worked.
Policies isn't working. Ask our friends at Oscar Mayer how that works for them.
Yeah, ask your friends in Oscar Mayer why their union left them to swing and did not deal with that problem and now are complaining. Again, the reason why Oscar Mayer left Madison is multifaceted, and it's very difficult when you have, again, to be honest with you, who wants to stay in Dane County if you're going to be protested every time and the unions are going to hold you hostage? The world has changed, and the problem is here in Madison and in Dane County, they have not.
Why did Epic leave Madison, Jeff? Why did Epic go to Verona? I mean, there's got to be a reason, right?
Well, if you ask me, living in Cottage Grove, going to Verona or Madison, what the heck's the difference? 10 miles? 5 miles?
I don't know. I mean, the point of it is, I mean, there was a reason why they went to Verona.
You think Epic moved to Verona because the unions protested?
Well, I don't know why. They had to have a reason for going to Verona.
Businesses make decisions on multifaceted basis.
What they always do, they give them a better tax break, probably.
Well, probably, yeah.
And they had room to grow, too. Madison doesn't have room to put those monster buildings in.
Let's be clear. You know, again, the problem with the Dane County way is the people of Wisconsin have voted that down. We're going to apply Act 10. It is the law of the land. The School District of Madison, Monona Grove, Beloit, all of those are going to have to comply because it is the law.
We are
complying. If they want the money. If they want, we are complying.
We are complying to Act 10. That is a lie. See, it continues.
Well, okay. No, that's
for this hour
fair enough. I'm just thinking, Jeff, if you're complying, then are you, in fact, adhering to the requirement that teachers or employees pay 12% of the cost of their health insurance?
Teachers and employees have to pay 12% of the cost of their health insurance if you're in the state health care system. We aren't in the state health care system anymore.
So
we are no longer in there. We are complying.
So what about that, Mike?
They don't have any idea what's in their bill.
Well, yes, we do. The budget bill is extending that. That's what the budget bill is doing. The budget bill is extending it to say it should be 12% of whatever insurance plan.
Of whatever insurance. So why can't they pick their own insurance and do what they want, Mike?
Well,
Well, they can certainly pick their own insurance, taxpayers and the students should also benefit. It should not be simply because they go out and find it cheaper. The bottom line, Mitch, is when out in the private sector somebody lowers their health insurance costs, the employees still pay a certain percentage of their premium. Businesses do this. This is the way. Again, the average premium in Wisconsin for the private sector, the employee pays 22-23%. We're simply asking to bring all local government employees to the 12% of their premium cost, the calculation.
Whatever the premium is.
Yes, whatever the premium is.
So he's admitting it's not working in the private sector. I get it.
But it is working. The private sector is already at 22%.
I was at 30 when I was working the last job, so...
So that's good. That's a good thing.
Which is probably why, people at home, were not sympathetic. And I certainly appreciate your ability to do what you want, Jeff. But, what is your answer?
It's not our ability to do it. We are following the Big Government Act 10 that was given to us. We are following that. They're gonna move the goalposts because things aren't going the way they want.
Because you're doing it outside the system. What about that, Mike? That you're forcing
as media has reported, it's a handful of school districts that aren't in compliance with the provision that's in the budget, and so they'll have a choice to make, and then they can make a choice if that's what they want. They can cost students money. What this is about again is, what is the priority? Is it the students and what goes on in the classroom, or is it placating the union mentality? And if you look at the districts involved here, some of those districts. Again, have decided to side with the unions, and those days are over. And, again, the policy of the budget is to say that taxpayers and students should benefit.
Hey, guys, do you agree with me that Madison will reject the state money and maintain their own code of business?
Well, hopefully sanity prevails and there won't be strings attached to that money. That's what I'm kind of hoping for by the end of the budget.
What about that, Mike?
There's a long way to go between... We got too many people fighting to be governor. There's a lot of things that are going to change in the governor's budget between now and then. So.
Well, the bottom line is there's wide support. Let me tell you, there's wide support in the public to simply say you work for the government, you pay 12% of your premiums, because people in the private sector pay significantly more. And so we're not asking anything that's unfair. And frankly, the money stays and it goes towards the main purpose of what K-12 education is about, is educating children. It's not about placating a union mentality.
So I have a question.
Go ahead.
If you want to save all this money to placate the children, how do you think you do that? How do you think that education money goes right to the classroom? What is the classroom? It's the teacher that stands in front of the kids all day, right?
It's not the four walls. That's a major part of it.
It's the teachers. Yes, it's the teacher. Who is the union? The teachers.
Well, here's the problem.
When you screw the teachers on one hand and then say we want to help the kids on the other hand, it shows you really have no idea what's going on in education.
Oh, I do. I'll use your own referendum.
Hold on, guys. One at a time. Go ahead, Mike. I like the debate.
Okay. So here's the thing. Jeff apparently doesn't read his own talking points from the school district. When they did their referendum for $2.6 million, they went out and made an effective case as to why they needed to put money into maintenance, into technology, into additional materials for the classroom. They made a very effective case that it wasn't all about salaries. Now, what's interesting is Jeff wasn't the main person out there spinning it. It was other members of the board and the superintendent. And I went to those. And the superintendent made it very clear, education is more than just the teacher. It's more than just the physical person that's standing there. Certainly the teacher is the biggest component. But there are other things. That's why they went to referendum and asked for more money, and the voters voted to approve that. And almost immediately after doing that, the school board in Cottage Grove, in the Monona Grove District, decided to take $400,000 that they had not told the public they were going to spend and bring back unionized or full-time janitors when they were using a private janitorial service to clean at night. Now, again, this is what people get angry with.
Yeah, especially when Mike tells them things that just is fake news. He doesn't tell the truth. He has an aversion to the truth. And it's amazing that...
Well, okay, how is that not true? Is that didn't happen then, or what?
We brought the janitorial staff back in, yes. Because it's a safer thing for
so
our
what's,
children, right?
What's fake? What's fake news?
What's fake news? It cost us $400,000 to bring them in. That is correct.
So how is that fake news?
We were paying over $250,000 to spread it out. So it's not a new $400,000 expense. It's like a $100,000 expense, but now we have actual employees who have actual ties to the district, who have skin in the game, who our parents know, our kids know.
Okay, so the fake part was that it was, he said 400, it was really 150, well, total of 400, it was 250 or 4,
it was 150 max.
So Jeff is saying the addition is 150. Okay, so there you have it, guys. No, I like the robust debate, I like the passion, and I appreciate you both being on. We're out of time, but, you know, that's great. Thank you very much, both of you. We'll sort everything out next on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How big or how small a case will you take on?
I've helped all sorts of people over the years, from very small cases up to multi-million dollar cases. We do try to be selective in the cases that we handle as a matter of economics and devoting the proper time that I can to a case. We do advise some people that if their case is small enough, they may be better off handling it themselves. Not everyone needs a lawyer. Sometimes it's not in their best interest to have a lawyer, and I've told many people over the years that your case is of modest enough value that I think you're better off handling this yourself. So it's only when we think we can make a meaningful difference in the outcome for them that we're willing to accept their case.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
I'd like to remind you that every day right here, 11 to noon, right after the Mitch Hanks Show, we present Wide World of Radio. I'm your host, Bob Abella, and I pay tribute to the stars of radio's golden age. Today, it's a man and his music as we enjoy Frank Sinatra's radio show, Songs by Sinatra. Guests include Fred Allen, Ginny Simms, Francis Langford, and Gene Kelly. It's a big bundle of music and comedy, wrapped with a tempting medley of Sinatra hits. Don't miss Wide World of Radio right after the Mitch Hanks Show, today, 11 to noon.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hanks has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Psst. Yeah, you. It's me. Your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa. What happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just going to keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right. Rodney King said it during the L.A. cops when they're beating him. It was on videotape. I'm wondering in some ways whether that played a big role in where we are right now in this country. Can't we just get along? But you hear the voice of Mike Michelson. The reason I put him on is because he's on the far right, and he speaks for the far right. And his instinct is not to compromise and be diplomatic, but he wants to fight, which, frankly, is better radio, better entertainment than if somebody just wants to always compromise. And Jeff was the other example of somebody who wanted to fight, too. And, you know, they're fighting. You do lose control when it gets to be a cat fight, where every single syllable becomes a fight. And I look back at a bad marriage, and we would fight. I mean, we actually had a spark, and we were passionate, and we had two beautiful kids, and we partied hard when we dated. But when you're living and functioning, I mean, if you just either can get along or you can't. I mean, it's oil and water, or it isn't. And I see these married couples who have been married for 55 years, and I think, well, good for you. I mean, but I mean, it wasn't long before we would just drive each other insane, drive each other. And so eventually it just becomes, do we want to survive here, or do we want to start teasing each other with the power tools? I mean, I say that metaphorically, but, you know, it becomes untenable. Untenable. I mean, so it's better for all concerned to be in different dwellings. And then you can work together as best you can. And, of course, you know, being Sicilian, I try to do we're awfully fond of our children culturally in the Mediterranean, more Latin circles. I mean, I remember this. I mean, I would go, you know, because I had a heavy placement schedule through the week and weekends every week, and people would see me. Some woman or somebody else would say to me a night where I was not on the clock, so what, do you see the kids every other weekend and Wednesdays, or how does that work? And I just would get so offended, the assumption that I wouldn't see the kids except every other weekend or on Wednesdays. It would always just get me into a rage. And I had people say, well, they're not doing anything by it. That's their idea of it. But, you know, in terms of single dads back there, and that were in these, I mean, the only thing I couldn't do was breastfeed. I mean, I could have tried that, but it really wouldn't have done any good. But everything else I could do. I could do laundry. I could cook. I could read stories. I mean, there's nothing else I couldn't do. And, I had people call a previous show, well, you know, you could say that, but that's just not right. No, it is reality. I mean, this idea that every single father is, you know, not there, and every single mother is there every second is just BS. Give me a break. And we're getting more and more house husbands and dads who stay home, whatever the case. And even on the deadbeat, and I used to do stories on this news, the deadbeat parent numbers. Mostly men are deadbeats, but when I was doing a story on this 20 years ago, about 25% of the deadbeats were women. I mean, surely the vast majority were men, but it wasn't like no women were in the category. And we had somebody at my former station that paid, woman paid support and so forth. I mean, there's nothing black and white on this stuff. Why did I bring this up, by the way, Mike? We're talking about conflict. Can't we just get along? And in our case, we get along better after we were no longer sharing the same close quarters. I mean, let's face it. But in the case of the Mike Michelsons, the Jeff Simpsons, I think it's important to put people at opposite ends of the spectrum. And the reason I kept them both on for so long is because they do exemplify that. But this whole thing with the lies, 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 shame, 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 I'll admit it gets under my skin. But the truth is, after the first 2 weeks, it got better. It was more peaceful. You know, it was always large, and there were incidents after that where doors were blocked and the chamber was blocked and so forth. But, you know, in terms of the shoving and the hitting and the grabbing and the tie pulling, to say that that didn't happen because there were no prosecutions. I mean, when there's a mob and the cops aren't around, I mean, give me a break. I mean, and you're getting this firsthand testimonials from people whose ties were grabbed. Oh, they're lying. They're lying because there was no prosecution. I mean, give me a break. I mean, give me a break. And then we look at how do the chips fall on this? Well, the chips fall that Scott Walker, who was this member of the assembly when I was in the covering the Capitol all the time for NBC 15, he was in the assembly. He was the assembly guy from Wauwatosa. And he was very much a social conservative. I would always go to him on issues of school prayer and abortion and gay rights. I would go to him for that conservative, social conservative perspective. And he went from that to a statewide political figure who won in 2010. Remember, he was going to run in 2006. But he wasn't ready, and Mark Green of Green Bay was more prepared and so forth. And he didn't run. He backed out. And then 2010, he had amassed his forces, and he had a three-way, right? It was he was running, I believe it was the guy from Janesville area was also running, a former congressman whose name I'm troubled with right now, who ran and had been the congressman. And who else was running? I mean, he had a couple of opponents in 2010. Anyway, he won the primary, and the rest is history. But I do think he was buoyed politically by the reaction to the protests. And I understand the protests. I mean, you know, you enjoy a certain amount of benefit for decades, and all of a sudden somebody has to rip a great deal of them away. I mean, it's perfectly natural that people would be upset. And I'm not sure how else it would have, because Mike Ellis, who was then in the state Senate, did tell Mark Newman, that was the guy. Mark Newman was running in 2010, and there was somebody else too. But anyway, Mike Ellis told Scott Walker when he unveiled his Act 10 proposal, he said, there's going to be a firestorm. You know that. It'll be a firestorm. And Walker knew that. He knew there would be a firestorm. And his goal was to say, hey, let's let this play out. And in the end, I mean, you can't say that it was a success politically for the opposition. You know, and there were attempts to maybe talk during this period. I think Tim Cullen tried to be a mediator, and that didn't work. But I think any attempt at compromise, and Tommy Thompson never would have done what Scott Walker did. I think it's pretty clear. But any attempt to get him to go a different direction was lost. Those attempts were lost because of the incendiary confrontations. So how is it going to play? I don't know going forward. But I think it's clear that Democrats have got to find a way to connect and speak to the voters outstate, the rural voters, the rurals who do care about property taxes, and they don't like what they see in the news, and the fact that they can be, I guess, gathered politically by Scott Walker. And who's going to step to the front and do that? I've talked about Joe Winicky, the retired state senator from Verona, who had ideas that could have done that with the 3% solution on property tax and tax reform, taxing commercial and manufacturing properties at a higher rate than residential property. That was defeated by 1% of the vote back in 1992, April. And that would have given seniors like a 50% property tax cut. Unless you do something radical like that to get those seniors in out counties on your side and beyond, you're not going to win, because it's not enough to rally around public workers and win. We saw Kathleen Falk do that, and she lost the primary. Come back with more on the, we'll actually shift gears into a lighter note on the Mitch Hanks Show at MadisonTalks.com.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. What do you say to people who feel guilty about hiring a lawyer when they're injured or harmed by a company?
Well, there's a stigma that's been developed over the years where people are made to feel guilty about bringing a claim because of injuries. I have yet to meet a person or take on a client who woke up in the morning and said, geez, I'm going to go out and I hope I get in an accident today so I can make some money. People come in because they genuinely need help, and they're overmatched against a large insurance company. So we try to get them fair compensation and understand that it's probably a time that's very traumatic for them. They need someone on their side to guide them through the process that they're unfamiliar with.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Hague and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
At Troy Research, we understand that success is determined by your customers. To realize the greatest success possible, you need to understand what they want and why. Your customers have opinions to share with you. As researchers, our assignment is to gather those opinions, illuminate the issues, and shed the light of understanding on decision making. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research at 608-271-8884 or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is a thing that you want to think of. It should be at least the third thing that pops into your mind. MadisonComedy.com is where you can go to find our complete schedule. Any comics that you could think of, we've had.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Are you a veteran returning from Afghanistan or Iraq and struggling with significant readjustment issues? If you're dealing with the effects of trauma or alcohol or drug abuse, facing marriage difficulties, or wanting to rebuild ties with your children, Peninsula Counseling Center can help and can restore hope to your life. Associate Director Lois Goldsmith.
Our programs have proven to make a significant difference in restoring new meaning and satisfaction in their lives.
Counselors use a remarkable therapy called EMDR that has been demonstrated to be an effective and rapid means for healing post-traumatic stress disorder.
Research indicates that the use of this specialized treatment technique can help those suffering experience significant relief in a relatively short period of time.
Call them at 516-569-6600 to schedule an appointment. If you're not covered by insurance, services will be free.
For the millions living with COPD, breathing becomes a real struggle. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, but you may have heard of it as chronic bronchitis or emphysema. Over time, it makes it harder and harder to breathe until you feel like you're breathing through a straw. COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. It kills one person every 4 minutes, and it took my grandmother. An estimated 24 million Americans are affected, but as many as half of them don't even know it. It's a race against time to spread the word about this serious disease. If you're over 35 and have ever smoked, you could be at risk. The good news is there are steps you can take to improve your symptoms. I'm Danica Patrick, and I drive for COPD. Take action today to breathe better tomorrow. Join the movement at driveforcopd.com. Take our screening questionnaire today and talk to your doctor.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
It's Valentine's Day. Aren't we happy, folks? Man, I think maybe, how healthy is it to do these shows? He's kind of jades you and get mad. And I hate to get mad, and I apologize when I get mad. But if I get mad again, I'll apologize again. I'm wondering, a good icebreaker line, you know, if you think about your own significant other, you think back to the first time you met your significant other. What was a good icebreaker? What was the icebreaker? What was the opening line you used? I mean, what did you say? Something had to be said. Something had to have started the conversation with your significant other. And I think back to, a vast array of former girlfriends, and I can think of how meetings took place. Of course, I'm more reminded of how the breakup happened. I'm more reminded of the breakup lines that occurred. Maybe I thought they were callers, you know, talk show callers, but the opening line, I tell you what I used to use, and I will say it's easier when you're like 80 pounds lighter and on the news or whatever, but I would say, you know, do I know you? Have we met before? And then they would, I don't know, like, boy, you look familiar. I'd use such a BS. I mean, how corny is that? But I would use that line. And there was a period of years where it would actually work. And I go, I'm Mitch. And then I would meet her, and then I'd get her a drink or whatever, and we'd talk. But, I mean, there's got to be an opening salvo. And that's pretty lame, I realize. You know, my son would do when he was like 13 or 14. You know, you're 13, 14, you're just sort of entering into that world where females are very important to you. You know, he'd gone from the other world where he was playing video games and golfing on, you know, in summer all the time with his buddies. But then he kind of went into that period of caring about females. And he would go up to the employees at O'Danny Hills Golf Course who were 19 or 20. My son was 14, but kind of tall and, you know, cute, but not old enough. But he would go up to them and say, gee, would a guy like me have a chance with a girl like you? And they would smile, oh, isn't he cute? But I could see him trying these lines. And he would tell girls, you know, I need a map because I got lost in your eyes. I go, oh, that is so bad. So bad. You've heard that before, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not saying that, do I know you? Have we met? You know, is good. But there's got to be something you say, right? Because you don't say, hey, how you doing? I think you're really attractive. Can I buy you? You know, you can't just go right to that. It's like being at a comedy club and going into the material on a Friday on the early show when people are still restless from work. They haven't settled down from work yet. They're still kind of bothered from work. And they want to drink. I mean, you can't just go right. You got to break them. You got to break them down. Like, happy birthday, it's your birthday. You got to do something to break them in and then go into the jokes, right? The worst show of the week, the hardest show of the week was the Friday early. Mm-hmm. The Friday late was easy. Saturday, their people are relaxed. They're 24 hours from work, so they're more relaxed. And that crowd, those crowds were easier. But boy, that Friday early crowd, you got to get them, you know, broken down. So, I don't know. If you remember what you used and how you first met or what you said or what was said when you first met, I'd love to hear it. And what's a good Valentine's Day gift? Chocolate-covered strawberries? I've heard that this morning.
Donut holes from the gas station?
Now, I you've tried that, Mike? Or the one rose from the one rose from PDQ, that's not going to work. I mean, anything short of a dozen roses will not work. If you're trying to save money and you get six roses, you know, you might as well just go and file the divorce papers. You might as well just call the lawyer and say, you know what, we'll do this instead. I'm telling you, not going to work. I mean, if you're going to go to dinner, go somewhere nice. Don't go to Denny's. I mean, I'll get sued by Denny's. I love Denny's at times. And by the way, they have a very underrated spaghetti and meatballs. It's just Brooklyn spaghetti and meatballs. Very good. Mostly spaghetti in restaurants is runny and watery. It's not. It's thick. It's good. But you don't want to take your Valentine there. You know, we made the mistake once of doing a show on Valentine's, and we had like chicken and pork to save money, and we charged less for the... No, people want to spend more on Valentine's. They want steak or prime rib, and they want wine or champagne, and they want chocolate for dessert. They don't want chicken or pork because they feel like they're at a truck stop. It's sort of the old adage. You could sell the $150 tickets to a Sinatra show. You couldn't sell the $25 tickets. You know, I mean, people will respect the show more if the ticket is more expensive. If you charge $25, they'll respect it more, and they're more likely to buy it than a $20 ticket. I'm telling you, I've lived this. I've learned it all. So Valentine's, oh no. Go to a nice restaurant, fellas, if you're going to be footing the bill. Not to say that the guy would always foot the bill, right? I mean, we don't want to assume those things. But I don't care if it's the guy or the woman. I mean, you don't want to go to a truck stop, you know, and have that great roll from the pine cone.
Unless you have fond memories of the truck stop.
Well, I mean, I suppose I shouldn't rule anything out, should I, Mike? I mean, there's go to the truck stop, have a big hearty meal, and head to the monster truck show. Meal WWF action. Hey, different strokes for different folks. It's like my mom's one of her early students in her teaching career. She always remembered the kid. Fondly. But she would go, he'd say, to each is each. To each is each. She always liked that. And it wasn't to each his own. To each is each. And then there's another kid, she said, always give instructions. You got to do this, put your notebooks away or get them out. Or he'd go, count me out. Count me out. Always say, count me out. You know, and she would laugh. I mean, you could get the teacher to laugh. That was a huge moment. You got the teacher to laugh. Mitch, watch your mouth. Somebody have a mirror? I can't see it. Oh, boy, it was the worst. You laugh, but they didn't laugh at that. And then we say diarrhea of the mouth. Every teacher would say, you got diarrhea of the mouth. Do you learn that at the convention? I mean, it's not an original thing. Boy, I was just helpless. So now we have more chatting on the videos of the protests. We've set off a firestorm. And this is the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. I don't know if you've noticed, but we got a lot of food in this country. We got so much food that we can't even eat it all. So if we got all this extra food, how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? I just don't get it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to the hungry kids who need it. This isn't complicated. We got extra food and we've got hungry kids. Feeding America's done the math. Now it's your turn. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. I know you got internet on your phone, so what are you waiting for? We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Mitch Hanks Show. Once again, here's the voice of uncommon sense, Mitch Hanks.
All right, George, what icebreaker line did you use when you met your lovely spouse?
Well, my icebreaker line was, hey, honey, you want to go for a ride?
Oh, you didn't say that. You didn't say that, did you?
Yeah, because I took her. We weren't supposed to go out of Fort Dodge, and I took her all the way on the first date to Des Moines, and her folks couldn't know about it.
Okay,
that.
We got to go. We're out of time, but I want to talk to her about that. Thanks. Bob Keller, we thank him for the space here on West Wash. Check out spots for renting apartment. West Side, downtown, whatever, KellerApartments.com. That's KellerApartments.com. He's a wonderful man. And Wide World Radio is next. See you tomorrow.